across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Along with Greg Bach and meteorologist Brittany Merlot on this Tuesday morning, May the 7th, 2024. May the 7th. This is set in Demai, right? Do we have any good Norwegians on this panel at all? No? No? Okay. Wait, you're pointing to yourself, Mr. Bach.
Yeah.
Is this in fact set in Demai?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm like, I'm Norwegian. I mean,
okay.
But yes. Yes, it is, Pat. Speaking on behalf of Norway.
Especially since, you know, right away, here's how quickly we can Google things up. First hit is the Set in Demai Festival in Stoughton, Wisconsin. So I hope that folks in Stoughton don't hate us too much for this. Constitution Day out of Norway. All right, Brittany, feel free to bail us out and literally bail us out, given that the rain has started falling across the western edge of Wisconsin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're okay. We're all wet. It started, the rain started up a little bit ago here and runs basically through Rice Lake and Chippewa Falls, down through Richland Center. And I have a feeling it's going to continue to eke its way eastward this morning.
Oh, it sure is. But I have a question for you. Since you have the ground truth for me, how hard is it coming down out there right now?
Oh, okay. It was coming down at a pretty good clip for about 15 minutes or so. Now it's more of a light rain, so the heavy stuff didn't last terribly long. I thought I'd heard someplace that kind of the more active, rumbly stuff was going to be, you know, further south than the Chippewa Valley. So I think it just looks like we're going to get a nice little soaking this morning.
Yes. So that's what a good chunk of the state is going to see, a little bit of heavy rain at first, kind of spreading out a little bit towards the end of it. But we will see a good few hours of light rainfall. Then it's going to wind down and we may even see a little bit of sun peek out. Temperatures will spike to some mid-60s further south in the state. But the further north that you live, we're going to hang out to the mid to upper 50s today under mostly cloudy skies. So some severe weather may fire back up later on this afternoon, mainly after 3 o'clock and through our evening hours. And again, that does look further south, but we can't say that even up into central portions of Wisconsin or even on the east portions that you won't see anything severe. Now, if it does turn severe, we're looking at some gusty winds, some larger hail, and that's about it. All the risks of tornadoes should stay well south and away from us here. As you can see, this line that's moving through first is kind of like a bow. It really pushes out, and the main strong winds with the system are going to be more into Illinois. So we're going to be avoiding that with this first round. Just grab the umbrella and get ready to be soaked.
Okay, we can do that. And by the way, this is what I get for speculating out loud, but we'll do this again in 10 days. When it's actually set in Demai, which is not on the 7th of May, it's on the 17th of May.
You're close.
So I hope to get back into good grace.
As a Norwegian, how dare you?
You're offended. Who didn't know the date? Who?
How dare you?
You, Greg Bach. It was
my
you.
My Viking blood boils.
From Rob in Tigerton, good morning. It's cloudy and 53. A great day yesterday. I had my mowing jobs, then helped a neighbor farmer with field work. What I remember about disco songs, talking about Thelma Houston at the end of our last hour, was the bumper music on the NFL on CBS when they'd play before going to a commercial.
Interesting.
Disco, yeah, I mean, when that's all there was in the late 70s, that was your bumper music.
Nowadays, it's like, we are very tough men playing football now.
That's exactly how the music sounds. Brittany, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Such a good sport. All right. We'll talk to you later. Let's spend a little time now visiting with Robert Craig from Citizen Action. We haven't had Robert on for a while here to talk about what the group is doing, especially on this these busy 6 months now before Wisconsinites head to the polls again. Specifically, we asked Robert if he'd come on and talk about medical debt because Citizen Action is so dedicated to healthcare for all. And medical debt continues to be such a large and many would argue unnecessary problem when it comes to Americans and their good health. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Great to be with you always.
Yeah, nice to have you here as well. We really appreciate it. Let's start with what Citizen Action is up to these days. You know, how does it tie into your core mission 6 months out from when people go to the polls? What is the group doing and communicating to the public in the many places where you have hubs of activity?
Yeah, so we're spread across the state. In fact, we parallel very well the listening area of Civic Media Radio Network. So we have chapters we call organizing co-ops, and we're in four regions, major regions around the state, and then in the whole southeast part of Wisconsin, the Milwaukee area. So we're just celebrating our 40th anniversary, Pat. So we just got through with having five different celebrations in the five regional hubs we're in Wisconsin. So we've been around a long time trying to work on huge issues and build an active base, a grassroots base of citizens that are impacting politics, impacting public policy, making government reflect the actual needs of the people and the will of the people. So our big issue areas, Pat, are around healthcare and then the whole nexus of issues around climate change, the cost of energy, and economic justice and opportunity. Because making huge investments in a climate transition also have huge economic impact and also savings for individuals for the high cost of energy. So we have a lot going on healthcare right now, Pat. We've been working hard to deal with rising, skyrocketing healthcare costs. I know we're going to deal with that during this interview. But one solution that we have been really advocating for is a badge care public option bill that opens Badger Care to everyone to buy in. So you don't only have to be eligible on it, doubles eligibility levels, and allows small businesses in. Small businesses, only a third can even afford to buy health insurance for their employees. It's so expensive for small employers. And that bill, the Badge Care Public Option Bill, got every Democrat but two to co-sponsor it, which is a very high number, Pat. You were in the legislature. You know, most bills don't get to that level of co-sponsorship.
True.
And so now we're going to try to make it a big electoral issue because, Pat, the number one inflation issue, you've seen all the polling that inflation is one of the top issues, if not the top issue. If you dig deeper, the thing people are most fearful of and concerned about on cost is healthcare. So if you dig, and the solutions to that are right in front of us, can be also addressed at the state level. And it has to do, quite frankly, with the deregulation in many ways of healthcare and its privatization. Our hospitals are unregulated, unlike the utilities, and there are plenty of problems with utilities and their rate increases. They have to get them approved by a state agency called the Public Service Commission. No such thing with hospitals. They got themselves deregulated. They can build anything they want. They said leave it to them in the 80s when they got themselves deregulated. And this has helped drive massive costs and very dangerous closures as predatory competition between these huge hospital monopolies undercut some players and they leave the market. That happened in the Chippewa Valley, Pat, I'm sure you've heard about, with two major hospitals closing and a whole bunch of clinics. And then, of course, we left things to the insurance industry, big pharma. And so we have the most expensive healthcare system in the world. It's driving massive amounts of medical debt. And yet we don't cover everyone. And people don't even use their health insurance often because they're afraid they can't afford the co-pays, deductibles. And you know what? They often can't.
Can we take care of the low-hanging fruit on this debate from people who would look at all of this and say, and again, this is about as low-hanging fruit as it gets, well, we've had the Affordable Care Act for 10 years, and costs are still going up, and there are still these issues, so the Affordable Care Act must not have worked. I'll let you take it, because I can swing at that pinata all day long.
And, you know, President Obama really took on, obviously, a difficult fight. It was very hard to pass the Affordable Care Act, and Republicans tried to repeal it a number of times, and then it looked like they were going to during Donald Trump's presidency, but they narrowly failed to do so. We knew it would become more popular over time. So now you have President Trump former President Trump trying to back away from the idea that he would repeal the Affordable Care Act. But the reason it hasn't solved all these problems is it was incremental reform, Pat. And if President Obama made a mistake, it was not making that clear that we needed to make further steps. So what the Affordable Care Act did was it expanded the Medicaid program for low-income folks and disabled folks, made more people eligible, and got rid of a lot of the gaps in it. But the Supreme Court opened up a loophole that the states had to could voluntarily opt out. And that's what Wisconsin's been doing since 2014. We've led that fight every budget cycle and will continue to. Governor Evers has been strongly supportive, but we've had a gerrymandered legislature that's blocked it. So it did that, but not in Wisconsin, unfortunately. We're one of nine states now that hasn't expanded Medicaid, badger care in Wisconsin. But the other thing it did, it created a place for people to go who don't have good insurance at work. Used to be that if you didn't have an employer that provided you coverage, I just mentioned two-thirds of small employers can't even afford to do it. It's so expensive for them. Now with the marketplace, you can sign up for coverage. You get federal subsidies to help make it affordable. It bans a lot of the abuses like pre-existing conditions, requires a lot of different kinds of free preventive care. So it provided a place to go. So that's why we got higher levels of coverage. But it did not address frontally the rapid hyperinflation in healthcare driven by big pharma, big insurance, and the hospital monopolies. And so that is the next step that's always needed to happen. And unfortunately, Pat, the same people who tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act and block it are the ones who stand in the way and stand with the big healthcare industry interests in stopping us from actually taking on the cost crisis in healthcare.
Exactly. I mean, again, in the case of talking about incremental reform, the big reform through the Affordable Care Act was about coverage. If you can at least get people covered by something as opposed to being fully uninsured, because then that resulting charity care or bad debt drives up costs for all of us. So get them covered with something. But now it's the something that needs to be reformed, as well as, like you said, the continued corporatization of medicine and allowing it to be, something that, rates are set in a way that's more like, Wall Street than by the old, say, hospital rate setting commission. So I want to get more into this topic of medical debt with you on the other side of this break, Robert. We got Robert Craig from Citizen Action talking with us right now. A quick note that the Brewers lost in Kansas City 3-2. They will do it again tonight. Catch that on several civic media radio stations starting just after 6 o'clock this evening. Back with Robert Craig and more in just a moment, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Seven now on this Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio. Tomorrow, we'll have our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff and our homeroom segment, which will mark Teacher Appreciation Week here in the U.S. and, of course, all across Wisconsin as well. Robert Craig from Citizen Action is with us for a few minutes more. We'll be following that by having Congressman Mark Pocan join us in just about 15 minutes to get the latest from Washington, D.C. So, Robert, in terms of, again, healthcare reform, and we've spelled out the kinds of things that need to happen. And yet, while we have more coverage for Americans and people in Wisconsin than ever before, medical debt is still a thing at levels that are frankly looked at by every other developed country in the world, it seems. And they look and say, really? You still have families that have to declare bankruptcy because they got sick or got in an accident? I mean, Robert, it's still a major problem for Wisconsin families, isn't it?
It's a huge problem, and it's why more candidates need to run with serious solutions to the healthcare cost crisis and a lot of the abuses involved. And I will give the Biden administration credit. They have clamped down on regulations on people being reported to debt collection agencies for medical debt, because it's not a good indicator of people's creditworthiness. Why? Because anyone who has any significant medical interaction gets huge surprise medical bills quite often. And it doesn't mean they wouldn't make their car payments or their house payments or their credit card payments for when it's transparent what they're going to pay. So the numbers are astounding, Pat. About 20 million Americans, according to the best research, have significant medical debt. And those who don't are often avoiding medical care in order to avoid having medical debt. For those who do, there's good research that shows they are having trouble paying their other bills. Because if you end up, you don't know, this is the billing is not transparent, it's complicated, and you don't know what the price is going to be. When you buy a car, when you buy a TV, you know what price you're going to pay. You don't know in healthcare. You can't find out, and the prices don't make sense. They're all over the maps. One hospital will charge four times for the same procedure another that another does, but that the other will charge less for a different procedure. And there are all these different billers involved. And so it's deliberately opaque. It's much worse than any kind of abusive flea market or any kind of scenario you can imagine. And the result is we did with a national firm, we did a survey, a scientific survey of Wisconsin last year, Pat, and 54% of Wisconsinites are avoiding needed medical care because they're afraid they can't afford it, even though they're insured. You know, 90% of the Americans are now insured, and 95% of Wisconsinites, roughly. And by the way, that comes out of your salary if you get it at work. In other words, they're like CIS National Wisconsin, we could have two more organizers if we didn't have to pay so much for healthcare, right? And that's true everywhere else. And so this is, you are paying for this health insurance, even if it's a benefit you get from your employer. Yet you can't even use it because they've added all the co-pays, deductibles, and because there's a surprise gigantic charge that you can't figure out and have trouble contesting every time you use it. And then people who do have to do it end up with massive medical debt, and it affects their lives. It affects them meeting the basics on everything else. So it's a real crisis. People know it. I think they will reward elected officials and people who run for office, Pat, who will run on this issue, and there are real solutions.
And so in that vein of solutions, as you're doing, you know, your canvassing, as you go and meet with folks and you hear these stories, you understand the enormity of the problem at the household economic level. And yet so many folks may not necessarily know the importance of voting for this legislative candidate versus that legislative candidate, or this congressional candidate versus that congressional candidate. What are the things that Citizen Action thinks a voter should be looking for in a candidate for Congress or legislature? What qualities or positions do you think would make them the more effective choice when you're talking to voters?
We have essentially outsourced control of all of this to for-profit entities. Now, hospitals say they're nonprofit, but they're nonprofit in name only. They operate in the same way Wall Street traded companies like big insurance and big pharmaceutical companies do. And if you leave them in control, they'll charge as much as they can. They also focus on profit. What is profitable? So often communities don't have the care they need, like primary care and mental health care, because they have a lower margin. And you have all these specialty services for when people get very sick. Well, guess what? It's a lot cheaper. We'd have a system that worked better if we kept more people from getting that sick in the first place, which in other countries, including a lot of less developed countries like Costa Rica, believe it or not, do a lot better job than we do. So think about a Badger moving to expanding Badger Care dramatically and letting everyone get into Badger Care is that Medicaid programs, the government sets a fair price and the government does not allow massive co-pays and deductibles. So the Badger Care Public Option Bill, which I mentioned, all but two Democrats co-sponsored in the last session, and a lot are already running on in primaries as a bill, that would start to shift control away, and people would have a choice of an option that was not corporate insurance and where the price was, it was understandable what the price was. The premiums are lower, the co-pays and deductibles are virtually non-existent, and the price is set, so you know what it is. And so that would be a great improvement. Another thing we have to get to, and I don't want to step on next week's headlines, Pat, but I'll give Up North News here on Up North Radio a tip. We will be announcing some major reforms of the hospital industry next Thursday in Eau Claire with our mutual good friend Jeff Smith, who's a former Citizen Action organizer. And so And so we will have more things for people to discuss and run on. And the reason we do it in Eau Claire is because the Chippewa Valley just had two massive hospitals closed, one in Eau Claire, one in Chippewa Falls, and the entire Privia healthcare system. And I was reading the Eau Claire Leader Telegram and its editorial on the subject, Pat, and I give them credit. They were honest. They go, no one is offering any real solutions. So we don't know. We only have hope that something will be done, but we don't know what it is. I'm not making fun of them at all. They were telling us how the debate about it so far hasn't even offered real solutions to the problem in the system that's causing these hospital closures and skyrocketing costs. Jeff Smith and I will be announcing some very good bills that Jeff is working on next Thursday.
Well, I see my homework assignment is to go pester my big brother there, the senator, and figure out the best way to help pass this along next week.
Let me add one other thing. You're talking to Mark Pocan, former CISPEC Wisconsin board member. He's in our 40-year anniversary video talking about his experience at CIS in action. He's going after all the abuses of Medicare Advantage, which is another huge issue, and they're moving seniors through predatory marketing practices over to narrow network plans where there are a lot of claims denials. And so seniors now are unknowingly, because they're offered all these benefits, leaving Medicare and ending up in the same situation that younger people with regular commercial insurance do. So Mark has been a leader on that and trying to rein in those abuses.
I will look forward to visiting with him about that as well, because yes, it is so easy to continue backsliding, even as we, you know, have incremental and significant reforms that can be made out there. And I will say again for folks, part of the inspiration for this radio show is Citizen Action's Battleground Wisconsin podcast. If you're not a subscriber, go rectify that. Look for Battleground Wisconsin wherever you get your podcasts, and learn more at citizenactionwi.org. Robert Craig, thank you for helping me get caught up. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
And thanks for the plug. We were recently ranked the fourth rated podcast in Wisconsin by one of those kind of big data services. I don't know how they do it, but good to see us that high on the list, Pat.
Sounds great. Mark Pocan's next. You're up north. So regular listeners know that every Friday at 7:50, you might hear bumper music that sounds like this, and Dan Schumacher is going to come on, and he and Greg are going to prattle on and on about what Grateful Dead song is what. And so I reached out to Congressman Pocan's office yesterday and said, any preferences for walk-up music? And the response I got was, any Grateful Dead would work out just fine. And so Congressman Pocan, Greg, I've created a monster part two. If you guys want to take the first 5 minutes and just do, Dead talk, I'm good with that, I guess.
This is what the people want to hear.
I'm with you. I still have a ticket stub for Jerry's last concert from Chicago. I was at, and I've kept the ticket stub.
So. Oh my God, look at Greg's face. He is it's like he's in the presence of Grateful Dead royalty.
I love that so much. Well, enjoy it, sir. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we have much to explore in future conversations. We'll get things going from Mark Pocan's work life by picking up where we left off in our last segment with Robert Craig from Citizen Action, and talking about healthcare reform and medical debt and trying to help households, avoid debt unnecessarily. It's one thing you can't control if you get sick or get in an accident or something, but you can control some of the decisions that you make when it comes to purchasing coverage. And Congressman, one of the things that Robert Craig mentioned that you've been working on are what's called Medicare Advantage plans, which theoretically are supposed to be improvements by harnessing the power of the private marketplace. It sure sounds to me like it can be a recipe for overspending. What's your impression of how Medicare Advantage is working, and what folks like you can do to watch out for the consumer dollar?
Yeah, so this is one we just want to caution people, because Medicare Advantage is a private insurance alternative to Medicare that is a case study on how lobbyists work in Washington. They crafted a bill that couldn't have been more profitable for private industry, for insurance companies, and that's directly taking on one of the most popular services that we provide, Medicare, and threatening it. Just in overbilling alone from Medicare Advantage companies, It was $140 billion in the last time we kept track of that. That is enough to cover Medigap insurance for every single person on Medicare, or to extend dental, vision, and hearing to every single person on Medicare. And that's just where they're ripping us off, much less the prior authorizations they require. So if you have a medical issue and you're on Medicare, you go to the doctor and you get taken care of. You have that happen on Medicare Advantage, you have to get prior authorization, and they turn down millions a year. And here's the most damning statistic. 85% of those cases, when appealed, get overturned. You get the cut care, but delayed care is often death, bluntly, when you're that population. So, you know, this is twice as profitable as normal health insurance. Companies are fighting hard to keep it the way it is. And fortunately, we have a group of members of Congress and some nonprofit groups on the outside. They're working together to try to protect Medicare, because only Medicare is Medicare, and also protect consumers from not getting the health care they need.
You know, between this issue and the one I mentioned in our last hour about Dick Eline's PAC having to change an ad about Medicare and Tammy Baldwin, I feel like there should be this new slogan: let Medicare be Medicare. Yeah. Don't misinterpret it. Don't try to gussy it up with things that are going to end up costing people more money. If you stick with its original intent, which is funny because we're talking about people who are normally big on original intent, you'd have a pretty damn good program going here.
Yeah, and you know, if you really wanted to talk about Medicare, where we'd improve it was we'd figure out a way to cover that Medigap, the donut hole that, again, the lobbyists, the industry created, or you'd figure out a way to add dental, vision, and hearing, because clearly that's healthcare. And that would make it better. And we could do all those things just with where we're getting ripped off on this experiment that has gone, you know, pretty Frankenstein-esque. So, you know, I just think what we're trying to do is make sure people are aware. The other thing just to mention, Pat, is, you know, they advertise. When you see all those commercials, that's Medicare Advantage. They say call and get information. No, you're getting a salesperson when you call those numbers. And they're trying to get more people. And they've got a majority of people in the country now in Medicare Advantage. But the calls I get into my office where people can't get care and have problems is when they go to Medicare Advantage all too often. And we just want to warn people. Look, they have every right to go to a private insurance alternative, but they should know that there are a lot of consequences.
And it's been said before that, a really good first stopping place, maybe not everywhere, but in many, many, many places, would be your county office on aging.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, again, one side is advertising Medicare Advantage. Medicare doesn't really advertise, right? So that's part of the situation. But, you know, getting that fair information. I've had nurses at town halls tell me, like, they didn't know because they're too big government, you know, our government program, how to go. And as soon as they found out, they clearly understand medically, you know, unless you're really young and healthy. The problem is Medicare Advantage gives you a free gym membership, or you'll get vision coverage or something that's a little extra, and people get enticed, especially if you're, you know, first entering the Medicare age and you're healthy. It might seem like it's an advantage, but then years later, it's hard to get out of that and get back to Medicare. And then we get the complaints. So just really do research before you make that decision.
Let me go back a step for folks that might have missed it in the last hour, that this restoration pack, which is funded primarily by Richard Eline of the Uline packaging company, had to change an ad because it said that Tammy Baldwin had voted to cut, you know, money from Medicare, when what it was because Medicare finally overcame 20 years of Republican opposition and is able to negotiate for cheaper prescription drug prices. You're talking about saving something like $160 billion over a 10-year period, saving money. And some Republican talking points go, oh, they're voting to cut $160 billion from Medicare. No. That's cost savings for the taxpayer. I can understand where some folks on the right might be confused by that, because they see if it's $160 billion not going into Big Pharma, there must be something lost here. No, it's actually a gain for the taxpayer.
Oh, Pat, it's so much worse. So there's a whole lobby corps here also trying to stop us from doing what we did. And I don't think a single Republican has supported our efforts to negotiate for cheaper drug prices when we're getting ripped off as consumers. There's a story, if I can just share real quick. Katrina Shanklin was in town meeting with someone who is a lobbyist who used to actually work for a Wisconsin member, and I asked what she thought about, you know, negotiating for drug prices. She's like, of course, it's great, it's wonderful. And the person said, oh, no, that's the wrong answer. The industry wants to continue ripping us off. It made me, you know, more endeared to Katrina than ever for her reaction that, you know, how could someone actually, you know, say this? In fact, she even said, you know, well, I won't go into the whole conversation. The bottom line is there is a whole industry here to make money and trying to stop this. So when Uline says this, it's just part of that effort to make it so that as consumers, we're the suckers again, and Big Pharma makes a lot of money.
Absolutely. Let's switch gears here and go over to the farm bill for a moment, which, of course, as we know, is more than 6 months late, is due at least by this October. A lot of folks would like to get it done sooner so it doesn't get caught up in, you know, partisan politics closer to Election Day. We've talked in the past about how House Republicans, or at least many of them, are supporting ideas for a farm bill that would lead to substantial cuts. What's new from Senator Tammy Baldwin's office yesterday is it sounds like Senate Democrats on the Agriculture Committee have now essentially worked up their wish list for the next farm bill, which I'm going to say, without looking at it point by point, I'm going to guess Congressman is radically different than your House Republican colleagues, which leads my question to you, which I admit is entirely speculative. But now that we know where Senate Dems are coming from and House Republicans are coming from, what's your feeling on whether Wisconsin farmers, consumers, producers are going to see some kind of a productive farm bill yet between now and Election Day?
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried because I just talked to a member of the Ag Committee over the weekend, and they told me unfortunately, it looks like the House is going to punt out a completely partisan bill, which is a shame because the Farm Bill, you know, part of even how it's crafted is to make it go beyond partisanship. But hey, I'm in this session. I understand everything is going to be partisan from the House Republican majority. But in doing so, you know, we have a deadline of September 30th of last year that we extended to the end of the year that now we extended to this September 30th. And I'm worried that if you have two bills that are completely different, how does that get resolved? And it does affect people in Wisconsin. And don't forget two things. One, when the Republicans passed their original appropriations bill for ag, they cut spending 40% to the Department of Ag. So that shows where their real priorities are when it comes to agriculture. And two, if we don't get something done by the end of the year, we hit another, or actually by September 30th, it would be, because that's when we extended it. We go back to milk pricing law from the 40s, which greatly hurts Wisconsin's dairy farmers. So this isn't like just another thing to have, you know, team red, team blue, like the House Republicans are trying to do. This is something that could have a severe impact in Wisconsin.
From the standpoint of land conservation and natural resources, you know, there's a reason why programs exist where farmers would actually get paid not to farm certain lands. So that way they're not losing money by not farming it, but this is land that then can, you know, be conserved, not developed. And yet, if I'm not mistaken, Congressman, that is one of the big targets of Republicans in the House is to get rid of these conservation programs. And I do wonder what kind of an impact that could end up having for Wisconsin from both a farm family and an environmental standpoint.
Now, I don't believe they've put language to paper yet. So I don't want to speak for something that hasn't happened yet, but we know things that they've argued for before, and which would be that, which would be a number of other things, including getting rid of the funding for the Dairy Innovation Fund that helps dairy farmers, right? It's money that I always found interesting that when Wisconsin Republicans went to the rescue for the dairy farmer, they went to, not only did the Republicans cut the fund, the entire $25 million to help those dairy farmers, but when they had an amendment to restore it, Brian Stile and Derek Van Orden wanted to restore $10 million. They're 40% of the time there for Wisconsin's farmers. I want someone who's there 100%. In fact, I think we were asked for even more money than the $25 million for that fund. And, you know, I think just you can get an idea of what's going to happen when we get to this. I mean, we've got to protect those farmers, especially those family farmers in Wisconsin. And when we finally see language, it's going to matter.
What I'm not hearing you say is that Wisconsin's one member of the House Agriculture Committee, Derek Van Orden, has been, you know, like right there on the front lines, you know, with you on behalf of Wisconsin farmers. I'm not sensing that from his office.
Well, you know, he wants to be known as the Cheese King. So he definitely wants a title, but sometimes you got to do the work to get there. And he didn't on that Dairy Innovation Fund, right? That was a huge fail, only coming up with 40% of what they actually need, and didn't stand up to his caucus to do the right thing. So we'll see what happens as we get to the farm bill. Maybe he'll find a spine, but right now I'm not seeing it.
All right, we've got just enough time. I know people think, oh, you're pushing this off, pushing it off. Yeah, I'm pushing it off, but let's go ahead and bring up the soap opera, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Speaker Mike Johnson, because the question's got to be asked this week. It sounds like the congresswoman from Georgia is going to once again try to depose a speaker. What's going to happen this week, Mark? Anything?
So here's the problem. Marjorie Taylor Greene lives for TV cameras and attention. She should really just go to her real calling, which is all-star wrestling, because that's what she really wants internally in her life. And unfortunately, the press corps in D.C. Is like flies on poop. You know, they just come to her when she does all this, and then she just kind of puts it off. I don't think the Republicans want to do this again. I was told by a Wisconsin Republican that this did so much damage to their caucus last year when they had these votes that there's really no want to do this. So if this happens, I've said this is completely their problem. I will probably vote present if it comes up, because I'm not going to say that Marjorie Taylor Greene is in any way a serious legislator, because she's not. But I'm also not going to say we should defend the most homophobic and a whole lot of other thing speaker that we've ever had in United States history. But this is all their internal problem. They created the rules that caused this. They have to live through it. Unfortunately, we all live through it also, but I'm not going to enable it.
No. And for folks that are saying, well, maybe Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries, you know, becomes a speaker at some point. Again, how much more soap opera can we handle? The Republicans are plenty busy right now to be worried about anything like that.
The way that happens, that Hakeem becomes speaker, is in November we do this through the elections, and then we can actually have longevity and actual functionality again.
Stability, yes, all the good things that we should be expecting from the House of Representatives. Congressman Mark Pocan from the 2nd Congressional District, always appreciate these monthly updates. Thank you very much. Take care. All right.
Thank you, Pat. Take care.
Have a great day. Coming up next, Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio will tell us what's coming up on his show in the Wausau area. And if you're not in the Wausau area, you can hear it on the Civic Media app, all part of the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in a moment. Ringing that bluebird. Taking a look at the daily newsletter that you can get from Up North News, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina has an article today on when to plant what in Wisconsin. It matters the time of year and you know what it is that you're sticking into the ground, so look for that. Also, an article about the Affordable Connectivity Program, which had made internet access cheaper for some 20 million households before Republicans let the spending lapse on that. And now internet access is much more expensive for families all across Wisconsin. Look for that in our newsletter. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. Here is Chad Holmes. I'm sorry, let me get this straight. Here is the award-winning Chad Holmes, fresh off the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Awards. Congratulations, sir.
Well, I will put it this way. Some people say that second place is first loser.
Hey, Chad, first you laugh. Sorry.
I don't know whether I should be congratulated or I should be getting back to the grindstone and working a little bit harder.
Chad, I have just a piece of – I've not been in radio as long as you have, nor Pat, but I think the words you were searching for was thank you.
No, if the man wants to apply himself and
gotta get back to the grind here and say, where did I go wrong here?
Where did I go wrong?
Being second place in the state.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you know what? This is a guy who covers way too much sports, who sees the, you know, at the state championships, you know, only one team can win, and I guess it's got to be you. So, all right.
Well, let's try it again. Welcome to the show, the loser, Chad Holmes.
Thank you, Greg. I need a good kick in the rear to get going. Okay.
Whatever motivates what you, my friend.
Yep. Exactly.
That's fine.
The Derek Van Orden School of Motivation.
Oh, wow. This is, got harsh here all of a sudden. What you been up to over there, Mr. Holmes? A lot of sports, a lot of good guests.
Yeah, a lot of sports keeping me busy. Yesterday was a beautiful day to be out. Some days I've had days where I have to get the covering out because a lot of spring they don't have room in the box. So when it rains, I got to make sure that all this very, very important Civic Media equipment stays very dry. Well, I get very wet because I keep it. I make sure I know what the priorities are here and make sure that that goes. But
you know, they have ponchos and raincoats and things for the humans, well, not just again, for the radio equipment.
I tell you, I am just a step behind in every area of my life and career right
wait
now.
Wait a minute. Wasn't it last year? Did you tell me something like you bought three of the same coat because you could get a discount on it?
I bought two of not the same of a similar.
Okay, you bought two. But could you not use one for the rainy days?
That's a good idea. I tell you.
See, I pay attention.
It's fantastic, but it's hard to believe we're coming to the end of the school year but right now. That's the thing that's kind of jumping out at me. It's like, you know, I it's one of the cool things to follow these student athletes and the kids and the parents and everybody. And it's graduation season almost. And it's, I mean, I don't know about you. These years are going by so fast.
Oh, yes.
I keep looking for the break. Say, slow down. Soak up some of this stuff. And it just goes by so very quickly.
Look at this. Tony there listening up in Hayward exactly says they were winter coats, not raincoats. Our listeners pay attention to you, Chad.
I was going to say our listeners pay attention, but the guys that say, what's this, Pat Kreitlow and says Greg Bach, those guys, they don't pay attention to me.
I'm sorry.
I'm working right now, Mr. Second Place Holmes.
I know. I'm just, I don't know. I got this energy this morning to listen to your
what you're saying here about coming up to the end of the spring sports season. It's kind of like how at the end of the of football season, you have like this sense of relief that you don't have to be on the road all the time in so many places. And I've noticed that in you, that feeling lasts about 12 hours and then you're itching right away to get back into action. And so what I'm hearing from you is, yeah, it's about to be the start of summer. I got some more time to myself. I can do more. No, you really want to get right back into the trenches here.
Well, the thing about summertime is during the summertime, the football teams are getting ready for the year. They have what's called 7-on-7. It's basically there's those little leagues out there where you have no linemen. It's just a passing league. There's no real contact. There's no pads. But I find myself hanging out there just to say, okay, who's coming up this year? Who do I have to keep an eye on once the season starts in late August? So yeah, you're exactly right. And I think for a lot of us, it's like, hey, it's wonderful to be away for a week when you take a little time off. But by the end of the week, you're ready to get back out there and do it again.
I hate to be negative about this, but if you take all of that extra time you're now taking to go to these 7-on-7 practices, if you now divide your salary by that many more hours, I mean, you're getting an hourly rate that's way lower than somebody that says, would you like fries with that?
But the thing that's different about that theory is you're indicating that that's work. I find it to be pleasurable. And I tell people all the time, hey, I shouldn't say this out loud, but it's, you know, I say this sure beats working for a living.
you know what they say, when you love what you do, you'll always win second place. Boom!
Wow. Keeps coming back.
I'm just kidding. I tell you.
I won no awards.
I don't know anybody that enjoys what they're doing more than the two guys at Civic Media who are busting their butts to travel the most with their equipment. Because I was with Todd Alba, you know, when I came up to Eau Claire on Friday, and I've been to a few different functions with him, watching him set up, watching him tear down, and what a, it's such a process because you have to take good care of the equipment and transport it. And yet he wouldn't change a thing about what he's doing. And I'm sure if I saw all the times you have to set up and tear down and, you know, have a smile on your face when somebody wants to take up your time and ask some questions. I mean, it's totally inspiring to watch, you know, that you guys are willing to work that hard and still love what you do.
But that Alba is just on another level. I mean, what was he getting his hair cut on the air yesterday?
He's got
ideas that I wish I could come up with.
Well, he's got ideas. Some people have ideas on the one hand, and on the other hand, some people have a life. And, you know, they've got things to do. And
but he was multitasking. He was working to get his haircut. So I got to give credit. That, I got to say, that was a first place award-winning stuff yesterday. So I hope they save that up because he deserves that. And by the way, I hope you're putting in, Pat, because I thought, you know, where were you on Saturday? I was working for Kreitlow on Saturday, and he wasn't around.
I do not. I get completely demoralized by those things.
I know what you mean.
And so
I did for the first 15 years of my career, and I said to somebody the other night, I said, I wish I'd kept that attitude. Because I did it for 15 years of my career. I said, this is silly. This is really silly.
I just enjoy the thing. That's the honor I get is that you honor me with your presence.
You're
Chad,
a better man than
and Greg and listeners.
And then they can't call you second place Pat.
And on that sincere note, thank you, Mr. Holmes. Have a great show.
Hey, thank you, Pat. Have a
Greg,
good one.
We'll see you on Jane's show in a couple of hours.
Congrats,
here. Thanks
Chad.
So much to all of you for being here. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day.